You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
The Education and Training Act Amendment Bill passed its third reading in Parliament on Tuesday last week, which will see changes to school objectives, including the removal of the requirement to give effect to Te Tiriti or Waitangi principles. While Minister for Vocational Education Penny Simmons says the bill clarifies expectations for broad learning outcomes, the bill has been opposed by the National Iwi Chairs Forum alongside a number of schools across the Motu who have been reaffirming their commitment to Te Tiriti commitments. Fire and Emergency New Zealand has launched its biggest ever restructure in a 266-page proposal which will cut more than 140 jobs, excluding those on the front lines. Amidst firefighter strikes and the growing challenges presented by climate risks, the Professional Firefighters Union has said the changes will undermine the core work undertaken by support people within the agency. Finally, the Ipsos New Zealand survey rating government performance has recorded the lowest public satisfaction since the survey began in 2017. It found that 63% of Kiwi believe New Zealand is on the wrong track to addressing key issues. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about all of these topics, starting with the Education and Training Act Amendment Bill. You've spoken previously to me about this government's commitment to uplifting Māori and Te Tiriti or Waitangi. How do you suppose this decision to remove the requirement for schools to uphold these standards will be beneficial for educational outcomes?
So schools will continue to be focused on seeking to achieve equitable outcomes for Māori students. They'll need to take all reasonable steps to provide teaching and learning in te reo Māori to students whose parents and caregivers request it. And they'll need to take reasonable steps to ensure that policies and practices for its school reflect New Zealand's cultural diversity. So there continues to be a focus on ensuring that's provided for students. But overarching is a focus on the fact that we want every child to reach their full potential at school, and that's the absolute key focus right now.
Can you explain, in your view, why it was necessary to differentiate between honouring Te Tiriti and ensuring culturally responsive teaching for Māori students?
So the government doesn't believe, as I think we've spoken about before, that it's reasonable for parents and volunteers to be expected to hold and discharge the Crown's responsibilities in respect of the treaty. That's not their job, it's our job as the government. So this is a technical change that is critical in ensuring schools are focused on the actions that will get results, and it keeps the Crown accountable, as it should be, as we should be, in relation to Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
How do you respond to criticisms about these amendments being proposed, or this specific amendment being proposed, after the public consultation process had closed?
So it was a change the Minister brought in the Committee of the Whole House. That's something that happens in the parliamentary process. The previous government did it. We've obviously done it. So I think that it's just part of our parliamentary process that sometimes changes happen at that stage in the bill's life, if you like, or life cycle through the House.
One of the other amendments in this bill replaces the term local curriculum with teaching and learning programs, which seeks to pull the focus onto national standards. Do you have any concerns about the potential for this to centralise expectations to government decision-making rather than authorise local communities to contribute their knowledge to their schools?
I think that having a clear expectation and standard for the curriculum, I suppose part of the wider refresh of the national curriculum, is really important, so we know that where our kids are at, regardless of where in New Zealand they are going to school. But it doesn't change the teacher's ability to add their flavour to the way in which they deliver the curriculum in their classroom.
All right, my next topic is about the Fire and Emergency NZ proposals. What are your thoughts on these proposals, which include cuts to more than 140 jobs across the agency?
Well, firstly, I just want to acknowledge the huge amount of work that our firefighters do across New Zealand. It was fabulous. Last weekend on Saturday night, I was at an awards recognition for a volunteer fire brigade in Hawera, and the previous weekend was up as part of the National Party team that went to visit the front line of the fire in Tongariro. So really appreciate the work that firefighters do across New Zealand. The restructuring proposal that you are asking about is an operational decision for FENZ, and like all agencies, FENZ are continuing to ensure the best value for money for the taxpayer. However, I think it's really important to acknowledge that FENZ have been very clear that this will not impact frontline services.
You've just mentioned there that it doesn't impact, or it might not necessarily impact, frontline work. But I imagine that the work will obviously become more challenging in the face of climate change, which is obviously a growing threat. Is there any additional support being offered to firefighters and to the agency in general from the government?
Well, I think there's two different things you're talking about there. Firstly, FENZ have been very clear that this will not impact frontline services. So it's not maybe, they've said it will not impact frontline services. Secondly, throwing more money at a problem doesn't actually equal improving outcome. And often we have these questions where things are happening, where things are being reviewed, and the focus is on, well, why aren't you spending more money? Well, spending more money doesn't equal better outcome. We saw that with the last government. Spent $66 billion wasted on things that even Treasury can't connect back to COVID. So when it comes to firefighters, you know, even at these awards on Saturday night, a firefighter mentioned to me the number of roles that have been added that aren't on frontline and wondered why they're there. And I think this is what this FENZ restructuring is about, is to make sure that the roles are there, we're not talking about frontline, that only the roles are there that need to be there to ensure we get value for taxpayers' money. And we should all be supportive of that.
My final topic is in relation to this Ipsos survey, which has come out just this week, I think. The public rating of government performance has hit a low of 3.9 out of 10. What do you think that this reflects about public satisfaction with the government's current direction?
So we don't comment on polls. I don't comment on polls. They come and they go. I think, though, that it is important to acknowledge that we're well aware that cost of living is the biggest issue for Kiwis. But an economic recovery doesn't happen overnight. As the Minister of Finance has said a couple of times, you don't fix 6 years of bad budgets in one or two goes. So we are continuing to work to get the economy back to where it needs to be so that we've got the income at a government level required to deliver the health and education and other social services that New Zealanders deserve.
Stats NZ reported last week that record numbers of New Zealanders are still leaving the country. Do you think that this current government holds any responsibility for the economic conditions that are seeing this continued departure, I suppose?
So there are a number of New Zealanders who are choosing to look elsewhere for higher incomes. And I think that's all part of why we need to drive the New Zealand economy and do the work to unlock infrastructure spending, to enable business growth. That's why that investment boost policy was so important earlier in the year. You know, I went down to one business in my electorate who literally said, and it's on video, you can go and watch it on my Facebook, I think, where he says, as a result of that investment boost, he bought 7 new trucks to get product around our part of the country. So those things have a direct result on helping us grow this economy and ultimately grow income so New Zealanders choose to live and work and play here in New Zealand. That's a bit of a change from those who have been leaving because of high inflation, high interest rates and a shrinking economy that was a result of the last government.
Labour was rated in the survey as above national as being able to handle 7 of the top 8 issues concerning Kiwis, including the cost of living and healthcare and housing and unemployment. Do you think that this is a fair judgment to make?
So, look, I'm not going to comment on the poll, but talking about Labour's record is pretty simple. $66 billion of wasted money that's costing us $8.8 billion a year in interest today. That means we can't spend that money on health and education and other social services that New Zealanders deserve because of Labor's mismanagement. You want to talk about building houses? Well, let's just go back to KiwiBuild. There are clear examples throughout the term of the last government that demonstrate their inability to manage the economy, their inability to solve the housing problem. You know, we've got rents going down for the first time in over a decade. I think from memory it's 12 years, but I could stand corrected there, that we've got rents going down. Like, they didn't manage the housing, they didn't manage the economy, and they certainly didn't manage inflation either. So let their record stand for their inability to manage our economy and get it going in the direction it should be.
How would you say this government is tracking on performance yourself? Are there any improvements or changes you think would draw public opinion back into the National Party's favour?
Well, we've seen that already in the context of inflation is down. If you look at the impact that's had on interest rates, you know, the average mortgage holder is saving $10,428 a year, given the reduced interest rates. Now, that's big money in the pockets of the average New Zealander with a couple of kids, with a mortgage, trying to ensure that they can pay off their house, they can provide their kids the education that they need, and ensure there's good quality New Zealand produce and food on the table. These are the things that we're doing that are practically swinging the dial for the average New Zealander looking to get ahead.
That was National MP Carl Bates on the Education and Training Act amendments, FENZ restructuring, and Ipsos survey on government performance.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.